out the lies from the newspaper that the defector had given. She answered them without being unnerved at all. It wasn't that she had been in a position of trying to keep the news from her. Someone had just escaped telling her about it in the city, because we made it a matter of public record. But she said she knew at that moment if they had shown her news clippings that contained stories told by her own mother, she would have reacted just the same. That is real socialist character, and we commend Leanne for exhibiting that kind of socialist conduct. We commend Rosie Ruggiero for turning in her own sister for some matter that was not up to our standards. Her sister herself commended her, confessed her guilt. She said she had not realized the principle of her sister, and she felt so guilty about the fact that she had to report her. Though it was a small matter, it could have led to difficulties if everyone had done so. So, Rosie Ruggiero, we commend you highly for principled conduct. Joan Persley, Leanne Amos again, deserve great praise when carrying several hundreds of dollars collected for this cause. A man came at them with a knife and said, "I want all your money." They thought on Father and laughed and said, "You'd be welcome to any money we have." And then just laughed and cheered him, and he turned away. Something uncommon for a thief with a knife to do without any more threats or any attempt at violence. This is the character that stills the panic we feel when we see anarchy, insensitivity, like was described by Pam the other day after seeing the horror of U.S. capitalism, jelly bombing children, and then at the conclusion after seeing chemicals poured out on children, gas just like used by Nazi Germany, then after the ending of the film, people laughing and talking about lighthearted and superficial things. We have some high character about us, and we commend it. The 1978 elections, so the polls show, will show a tremendous gain in seats for the Republicans. There are 535 members in the House of Representatives. It is felt by the polls, said Congressman Rhodes, that the majority of them will go to conservative, or we should say reactionaries, who will be running on Republican tickets. The reason America will be returning to Republicanism, because of the ineptitude of dealing with the problems of the threat of communism, typical Cold War bigotry, the slowness of the Democrats to deal with the problem of oil, and the excess taxes, burden on the middle class, though it seems that they're fastly getting out from any of that. The bourgeoisie and the petty bourgeois are certainly doing their best to unload all the poor, to not only out of the welfare programs, but they want them to go away. There's no way to provide for people now. We're taking one lady in, a black invalid, yes, totally non-ambulatory, who cannot get around, but they're putting her out with several dozen more on the streets from nursing homes that are just having to be closed down. Congress has not done its job, is the hue and cry of the nation. Neither is the president. The Congress raced just a little better than the president, but not too much better. There needs to be an energy bill. regulate the supply of gas and fuels and the consumption of fuel in the USA, say the Republicans. Republicans worried because government is not beholden to anyone, even the president. Too much bureaucracy. What they're really saying is too much health and education and welfare. That's the happy tune of the reactionary mood that prevails throughout racist America these days. He said, Congressman Rhodes, who is typically the voice of the Republican Party, said the tax bill will be vetoed. Republicans want to cut capital gains. That means they want the rich to have less taxes to pay. And he was bold about saying it. That is Congressman Rhodes. And this was what the polls say the Republicans want throughout the Congress. Congressman Rhodes is not alone when he speaks for Arizona. Large earthquake has struck California. Five counties affected. The worst, Santa Barbara. There are 50 people injured and several missing. Major structural damages in bridges, highways, and other buildings. One of the firemen, the sea coastal town between San Francisco and Santa Cruz, said that all of the cars were being whipped back and forth on the streets, rocked back and forth as if a giant hand was shaking them. The National Guard, after the court has given the second order, not only a temporary order, but now a permanent order, restraining the Memphis police, 1,100, from striking, the National Guard troops have been ordered to march in the streets and to arrest police on site. If they resist, to shoot. A striking breakdown in solidarity that the imperialist class needs amongst its police effort, its military effort. That's the only hope to buffer the needs of the people. I'm surprised the press has not spoken out against it. The press is so effective. The American people have been like little puppy dogs, better trained indeed to follow their master, the press, that takes its orders from the monopoly ruling class interest. But somehow they're not getting through. The press did its job well in Memphis, saying patience, exercise patience, ordering the governor and the mayor to exercise patience with the police, and showing empathy for the police and suggesting that all should have concern for the police who risk their lives. But somehow the governor and the mayor is concerned about the taxpayer, who seems to be much more concerned about his extra tax burden and the danger to his life and limb in the streets that are unguarded than he is even about his own racist police that reflect his own mood well. The young mayor of Cleveland won over all of the progressive elements were seeking to remove him. Every black leader, all the civil rights activists, were trying to remove him in a recall vote, the first to be done on a Sunday in U.S. history. The youngest mayor in America, in Cleveland, in a majority black city where he was disliked because of special privilege he'd given to his family, racist views he was accused of holding. It's in that city that Hengisto, who's quite a sellout, in San Francisco, he even agreed to break in to the International Hotel. We have pictures of him kicking the doors down. But it was too racist for him to even endure, and he resigned as the chief of police. Nonetheless, the young mayor has won. There's a racist mood. Strange, the racist mood even runs through the black community that is the majority of the Cleveland voters. There had to be an awful lot of Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes. President Carter says in U.S. News and World Report that his whole future as an office holder may be at stake. The upcoming Camp David conference between Israel and the Arabs, or more particularly, Egypt. He said, but it has to be ventured. The Arab League Iraq in particular, fear that the Egyptians will make a special deal with the president. The U.S. public is very concerned over oil price increases and the danger of rationing. So it will be putting up pressure. The public mood will be putting a pressure on Carter to restrain Israel, which is showing very little restraint in that a committee of its cabinet have already agreed that 5 new settlements shall be established, Jewish settlements, in the conquered West Bank region that they stole, the Israelis stole from Jordan. Senator Amorozek, in a brave kind of statement, said just that. Israel stole the land. Or he said the U.S. capitalists and the British capitalists stole it, along with the Zionists, to give it to the Israelis. Stole it from the Palestinians. This is the bravest statement. Said one broadcasting comment on BBC that has come out of the United States by any congressman in many a year. Navy crash of one of its sophisticated planes near Guam. 29 aboard. Some still are missing. Fortunately, the admirals, there was a high-level conference over some kind of military plans, which included the Undersecretary of State and several other assistant cabinet members. At this point, 2 are known dead, 4 missing of the 29 aboard. The tax credit bill is greatly geared to aid the middle class. Senator Hollings is against any aid for those many, many middle-class parents who want to send their children to private schools to get around having to deal with the poor, or blacks and Indians in particular. But Senator Hollings, even though he's a conservative from North Carolina, says that there's just not enough income for the United States to maintain its military budget. And so the middle class's prejudices will have to wait a while. He will not support any parochial tax relief or private school tax relief. But he will give tax credits to the middle class for their college cost. They don't want that middle class, as Governor Wallace says, to be radicalized. So there'll be all kinds of wooing of the middle class, because if it suddenly woke up and realized that it is also a part of the oppressed of the class structure, then USA would have a rude awakening. Majority of private schools are attended by students from the upper middle class background. It is not yet known how the Senate will go entirely. Senator Byrd, majority whip leader of the Senate, was a little more hesitant. He said he wasn't opposed to aiding by giving tax credits for the upper middle class to send their children to private schools or parochial schools, but he would first this term like to just try tax credits to the upper middle class to help them with their children going to college. College now costs $6,000 a year per student, thus meaning the lower middle class and the working class will have no opportunity at all of sending their children to school, to college, that is. Chinese bilateral trade looks very promising with the British indeed, following their doctrine of three worlds, wooing the second world into their third world, which they pretend, or at least pretend, to lead the undeveloped nations, trying to divide the second world, which includes the European common market nations, the capitalist nations, away from USA, thus assuring that there will only be a nuclear engagement between USSR and USA. According to U.S. News and World Report, the Chinese are continuing to deceive and dupe the USA into a certain nuclear war in which they will be the clear losers, because the Soviets will have the advantage. Chinese will have wooed away the allies, the NATO allies, and the Chinese will be the winners that will pick up the pieces, along with the Soviets, because both have underground shelters, said U.S. News World Report, which is the only magazine, according to press revelations around the world, that hasn't been under the pay of the CIA. China has worked out petrochemical exploration agreements with the British, aeronautical agreements, coal mining, and underground shelter agreements. China's getting most of the aid on a long-term loan basis. China won't have to pay right now. They can pay later. And obviously, with the Chinese philosophy, they're going to bring about a nuclear war soon. There won't be anybody left to pay in Britain, because two well-placed bombs will put that island under the ocean. Vietnam charges that ethnic Chinese, or hooligans, equipped with weapons, came into the Vietnamese border, took the security guards' guns, tried to agitate a riot. Vietnam, Socialist Vietnam, an ally of the Soviet Union, says it's obvious that China's trying to start an eruption in Vietnam, between China and Vietnam, and wherever it can, to carry out the one main theme of its doctrine. As soon as possible. We have, finally, Congress has gotten around to form a committee on assassinations. The first to be called will be the James Earl Ray, who claims, already has given the name of an anti-Castro Cuban involved, he said, with the Martin Luther King assassination. He claims that he's the innocent fall guy. Also, following that, Congress will go through at least the appearance of investigating President Kennedy's assassination in 1963. Already, people are lining up with information about people that participated at every level of the government in President Kennedy's murder. So much, said the one that Radio Moscow heralded today, I'm going to ask librarian Teresa to put on the board, which will be the only thing required by the people that have just the basics to pass, which are all given on the tape of the Saturday night people's rally. Plus one thing, I want you to know what the conspiracy against Kennedy was, who was in it, and how that same element is after us. It included Interpol, that's the international police of the capitalist world, made up of Nazis, was formed in Nazi Germany originally, and its president was a Nazi SS member up until last year, until last term. It was a combination, said Burroughs, the CIA agent, of the mafia, immigration authorities, Secret Service, CIA, FBI, Dallas Police, Dallas Sheriff's Department, and people at the highest level of government who he will keep nameless, because Senator Church's committee on investigating the assassination and CIA activities was afraid to handle it. So until his family is safe, he will not go into it. You can go back and read it on the board. She'll put it there, I'm sure. Widespread fighting in Lebanon. It is expected Israel is bracing itself for retaliation from the Palestinians, because the death toll has risen to over 200 in the explosion that blew out an entire block of Palestinian Liberation Front homes and apartment buildings. Not killing those who were in the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the Arafat movement, but their children, their grandparents, their wives. The death toll of children has risen into the 70s already. These senseless acts of terror, no human being, no sensitive being could condone. Meeting on, the corporation, by the way, did not sell out its entire corporation to the new French corporation. Its European holdings, as a matter of correction of the news that I read on the board, they sold out their European Chrysler division to a French company. Big corporations in the United States are having to sell some of their stocks to some of the Arab Emirate rich nations, which include Emerson Radio and others. Mostly all on the American Stock Exchange have had to sell some of their secondary stocks. Capitalism is having a hard time of it as the dollar continues to plummet, that is to fall. Most wary of all, said President Carter, facing his administration and Congress, they're most wary of all is the oil embargo that may come from OPEC if something isn't done soon to drop Israel, if it does not get away from its impossible terms of not giving up its conquered territory that it stole from Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon. The rumors of the OPEC, who gave just this week an $8 million U.S. dollar loan without strings attached, long terms to pay it back to Guyana. The rumors are that the oil price will go up at least 5%. Even the Shah of Iran has joined Iraq in pushing for it. U.S. wants to expand U.S. coal. Many scientists and ecologists feel that it will throw already an abundance of carcinogens, cancer-causing air, that will make it almost impossible for people to live in the U.S. climate. Consolidation of coal is also going to be difficult. The resource of coal is not that long-lived. Lots of trouble with labor these days in mining the coal industry because of a general disregard for their health and general welfare. Brazil, South America, is growing sugarcane. In fact, is helping Guyana do the same to be converted into alcohol to fuel their nation. 20% of their automobiles are now using alcohol as fuel. By 1980, no less than 40,000 Brazilian automobiles will be running on pure alcohol made from their sugarcane. A similar project is expected for the vehicles of Guyana. That's an advantage that the sugar-growing nations will have. The world price on the sugar market is being pushed down by the manipulations of the monopoly capitalists again, till it will be hardly profitable to sell on the world market. But this is a breakthrough. The world monopoly capitalist, head by imperialist USA, will not be able to control, said Radio Netherlands. That U.S. will not be able to do anything about this. It's a Brazilian breakthrough, a rather right-wing country, taking an increasingly independent stand from USA. As you know, Brazil, Suriname, Venezuela, Guyana, Peru, just formed an independent alliance, an economic alliance, which makes very likely that there will be no border threats from Suriname or Venezuela against the Republic of Guyana. Socialist Cooperative Republic of Guyana. Brazil has never had any claims, laid any claims to Guyana's territories. As I said, in Santa Barbara alone, or did I say, 50 were injured in the quake. In the five-county region, the assessment of damage in the millions, the number of people killed who are still listed as missing and injured in California cannot be determined at this time. The cops are still ignoring back-to-work orders in Memphis in spite of the arrest of nearly 100 police. This young woman, by the name of Mayed, is halfway through her swim from Cuba to Florida. Much news in all the capitalist world about that. Protesting farmers are going to be mollified, or attempted to be at least, neutralized and calmed down by President Carter, who is on his way to Missouri to speak to some of them, to try to get them a little bit more of the mood that he is helping them. Big news, the strike of the newspapers in New York City, which includes the racist Murdoch, who owns the New York Post, and the New York News and the New York Times, still continues. Keep buying out-of-town papers, particularly the most popular is the Washington Post. in fear that the Daily News may be out for weeks and months, they have started 1 minute dial news. It's updated from hour to hour. It is felt that the Senate will extend the time limit on the equal rights movement of the women, giving them opportunity, after heavy lobbying on the part of the women, giving them opportunity to have a little longer to get it passed before the states. They're doomed to defeat if they don't have extension of time. Senator Robert Byrd, in Meet the Press, said that the president was doing a reasonable job, and he said it's futile to try to judge the president's performance through the polls. He said that USA must do something about energy control and the consumption of oil because world leaders, he meant the Arab world, is watching. And other capitalist nations are watching. Japan has agreed to do something about expending its surplus and to export more than it has, to import more than it's had. Japan is the one that has a real surplus. Capitalism's working better for them. They sell more than they buy. But USA is not so fortunate, nor are the rest of the capitalist nations, except West Germany. Senator Byrd said, that the natural gas must have some compromise on regulation. The American public is in a mood for it. He would refuse to say in Meet the Press whether he thought it was right himself. How clever a reactionary Senator Byrd is, former member of the Ku Klux Klan, who is the head of the Senate. The crude oil issue of the bill, controlling that portion, he as much as said was dead. Tax credits for colleges, too close to call, was his opinion in Meet the Press. Draft report of college credits will increase inflation. He said either way we go, we're in trouble in the nation with a high cost of living continuing. He said if you give tax credits to one group, you're going to increase the inflation on the other hand. If you don't, you'll still be increasing inflation. Tax bill said to have too many concessions to rich, says President Carter. Also, Senator Long opposes Carter. Senator Long, a Democrat, thinks there ought to be more concessions for the rich, and that capital gains should be decreased. When asked by Meet the Press how Senate Majority Leader, Senator Byrd, felt, he was very evasive. He said, well, there has to be a capital gains decrease. On that side, he was for the capitalist. But he said then the tax will largely have to be helpful to the middle income. Though he said it ought to be in a direction of helping those on the lower spectrum. But he never would say the working class or the poor. It was the middle class. He was really for a one-time $100,000 exclusion every contract that the rich corporations had. Give them $100,000 tax-free. Why? Every worker would surely love that. He said otherwise he would be for dropping it 35%. Oh, my. The average working class that makes over $40,000 a year, middle class, they have to pay 50% nearly of income tax. But big corporations, they ought to pay no more in any circumstance. No matter how much the millions or billions they're pulling in, said Senator Byrd, and 35%. Because he said we got to keep the capitalists happy. That's what really makes the nation go, of course, makes it go for the capitalists. He railed against the bill to eliminate capital gains. And he said it would not be hypocritical for Carter to turn around and sign it now, even though he's been strongly opposed, suggesting that Carter may be seeing the handwriting on the wall, though Carter has said he will veto any reduction in capital gains. I cannot see anything else that is of great importance to you in the news. that you need to know. He said that the president had come through in terms of economic stimulus. He said the president had helped Latin American affairs with the Panama Canal Treaty. Took a great deal of credit for those congressmen that supported it. He said that he refused to criticize George Meany, who Carter has criticized as being, he was just livid with anger. Jody Powell said he made him the most angry of any man at all, because Meany had said he wasn't doing all he could do to curb inflation and assist the working class with some wage assistance. President Carter's for wage controls, you know. Again, where other senators have been very critical of Carter's aides, particularly Jody Powell and Jordan, Senator Byrd got around to meet the press by saying, I never have to go through them. All I know is some chap by the name of Moore, and then the vice president, so he avoided getting into that ball game of having to criticize any of President Carter's aides. He said that when asked about the Senate pork barrel bill, called the Public Works Bill, that's been giving jobs to the privileged select families and supporters of the Senate, he said, well, now, he wouldn't go that far, even though there's 3,000 extra employees at a time when they need to curb spending, most of them going to people who have been specially close to the Senate. He said it does provide for planning for flooding and irrigation. He said it's wrong to call the bill totally irresponsible. When struck straight in the head about a Senate bill to aid its own office complex, making the ceiling 16 foot high, he said that extra $130 million was misplanning, but he said the Senate has corrected it. But Meet the Press reminded him only when the press and the public brought some pressure to bear. Senator Byrd said that there shouldn't have been the frills voted by the Senate for their own Senate office, new Senate office building. Shouldn't have been there, but it was just a mistake. No bad intentions meant whatsoever. He would not agree with those on the Carter team who defend Carter's staff. He wouldn't disagree. House Speaker O'Neill, head of the House of Representatives, has been sharply critical of the presidential staff, particularly Jody Powell and Jordan, including calling them too liberal, and that is something else to be able to call those chaps liberal. As I said, Senator Byrd avoided defending them also by just skirting the issue, saying he never had met the chaps. They said, Meet the Press said, isn't that highly unusual for the Senate leader, the head of the Senate, majority whip, like you are, Senator Byrd, to have never met the chief aide to the president, who Jordan is, and his chief news person, who is Jody Powell? He said, well, I don't think it's too unusual. He said, didn't you have close contacts with the former president's chief aide? He said, well, yes, I guess so. Just haven't got around to knowing these chaps. Oh, politicians, they never give a straight answer. Nothing in the capitalist bureaucracy. I listened to this Meet the Press for half an hour, and all you heard was evasion, evasion, and lie. He said Carter had done something for employment, the 95 million on it that are now employed, but out of a working class potential of 190 million, that leaves 100 million that are not employed, said Meet the Press. Well, he said they're not all wanting to work, really. He said we're going to have to do something about that, to come up with some kind of program that'll make folk work. Sound a little bit like the concentration camps that the congressman from Pennsylvania was suggesting for the youth on that horrible youth terror that showed black youth giving the finger to the newscasters and their mother crying, saying they're out of control. Another black youth saying, well, an Indian youth saying, we were raised like animals and so we have grown up to be animals. Same kind of mood. He said it was wonderful what the president had done to keep Social Security from collapsing, and that's only temporary, said the Meet the Press. Social Security could collapse next year. Well, he said it's a great breakthrough that the president had kept it shored up And Senator Byrd admitted that Social Security was about to collapse. Turkey embargo, he thought that was a great thing, that the president lifted the arms ban against the fascist oppressive regime that's putting hundreds of thousands of its own students into jail as political prisoners. But he thought that was a good thing. Strengthening NATO's capacity to win the war against communism, the neutron bomb, he praised that. He thought those were all good accomplishments of our president. He opposes any amendment bill. There's a move abroad, even in the middle class, for fixing the budget of Congress. He said, because that would affect our ability to move our defense posture. Our national defense would be threatened. So he's for any kind of price fixes, budget fixing on part of the good Congress, the United States of America. Nightmare USA. Senator Amerzek calls a nightmare USA. He's fixing to get himself killed the way he's going. He said, is there a difference between a Nazi who kills a Jew with poison gas, the CIA operative who experiments on children in our institutions and they die, or who puts LSD into several people's drinks unknown to them, like the army doctor that jumped out the 12-floor window to his death? Or is this two just following orders? Is the apple pie image burned at the edges, or is it roasted right through? Is the cocktail shaker nearly dry? So they're getting a little bit of, I guess some people have a little principles left, though Amerzek is considered the polls to be a loser, because he's not been pro-Zionist Israel. He, in fact, has been very critical of Zionist Israel. He also criticized the FBI and CIA, who are still conducting break-ins, he said, doing illegal acts to install microphones, bugs, surveillance equipment, so forth and so on. These are illegal activities against American cities and domestic organizations are criminal. He said any other person would be put in jail for years for what they're doing. He condemned the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders for advising that police should use criminal actions by undercover police personnel and informants. He condemned the IRS overall strategy of using one tax protester as an example to frighten others into dropping out of tax protests in general. One person who was chased by the IRS owed $5, but he was also a member of a California-based tax rebellion committee, and his case was used as an example and given nationwide publicity by the press, the obedient slave of the master, the ruling class. He received a one-year sentence for his $5 protest as a psychological terror story, if there ever was one. Also, nearly a quarter of a million, first-class letters were opened and photographed in the United States by the CIA last year. That seems a little strange in a nation that's supposed to be changing since Watergate. That's not to mention the other mails that's not first class that was computerized and fed into indexes that will be available to all government agencies that are snooping constantly on the American public. The CIA conducting tests, make just contact with people at prospective bars or the youth hangouts, and then they're picked at random to be given experimental drugs, and much of it has resulted in injury or death to the individual. So this is no different than Nazi Germany. CIA personnel then observe the test by using one-way mirrors when the test or the drugs or whatever are given. CIA have even taken cats and filled them full of surveillance equipment and put them back in the homes of the person that they want to monitor. This is something else. The Army security agencies, radio monitoring, had to be conducted in secrecy, and personnel had to be disguised because they were spying on their own people, and so they had to take the appearance of personnel. Paranoia is rampant throughout the United States. Everybody is looking into everybody else's business. We in the Committee to Defend Our Nonviolent Movement have to report all activities when that kind of spying and that kind of devious methodology is being used by the enemy. The FBI and CIA are still stealing such items as membership lists from organizations and any other personal data that might later make compromise possible for them and cause some person to have to work for the Bureau, says Senator Aberzek in his own private investigation. There's been a relentless expansion of domestic intelligence. It has not ceased. The FBI maintains in readily accessible files sensitive and derogatory personnel information not relevant to any investigation so that they can force someone to cooperate with them. We know a little bit about that. That's how all of our willing ex-members, traitors now, perhaps got started. There's a place in your consciousness, if you are above the animals, where your concern about principle should be more meaningful to you than your concern about embarrassment or a few years in jail or even death. The FBI and CIA and IRS copies and distributes its reports on the private life of individuals to anyone and everyone, even private credit agencies. The image of an agent of the U.S. government who is scrawling a poison pen letter to someone's wife in language usually reserved for bathroom walls is still being done. COINTELPRO counterintelligence programs, which are criminal intelligence programs, they should be called COINTELPRO, still goes on, involves sending anonymous letters or threats. We know about that. Our ex-members are threatening people, newsmen, district attorneys, trying to get trumped-up charges against our people. Thus far, no success. But certainly they are not to go unnoticed for their efforts. The image of the agent of the U.S. government scrawling poison pen letters, even to people's wives, to bring family difficulties and members of their families, or divide organizations and set up organizations to kill each other, continue to go on. This is harder the way we would feel clean about paying our taxes. The FBI established Dr. King as the most dangerous Negro leader in the United States, and it's still at it, discrediting every black person, working with newspapers. Newspapers work with them willingly to the FBI so they can drop a story to smear whoever they choose so they can be destroyed by some kind of attack on their sexual life, typically sexual promiscuity or perversion. The FBI program is called black bag jobs. They go in, use a technique to involve trespassing and getting information on people, their friends, their relatives' homes, or wherever. We should call it white bag jobs. Women's Liberation Movement is infiltrated by informants of the FBI. This is also information that's come out that has been turned over to Aberzeg. What he will do with it, I do not know. Probably the same informant that Radio Moscow spoke about. The Justice Department condones and often encourages the FBI's continued use of informants. We heard that from the mouth of the Attorney General, no less. And he got a contempt order for not turning over information where illegal methods had been used against socialists. The FBI attempted to influence public opinion for 40 years by supplying information and articles to confidential, high-placed FBI people, often editors or CIA officials in the news media. And that's the way they successfully get their smear campaigns against such as Huey or ourselves. IRS, Internal Revenue Service reforms are most necessary and appropriate because they're using so many illegal means. The IRS told their agents to pick up all the dirt that they could on several candidates that they considered not working for the bureaucracy. They were mainly interested in sexual hang-ups. On one occasion alone, they paid a young woman, promised her a pension for life and a haven abroad if she would be able to get $20,000 a year and other benefits if she would be able to get some information on a judge that they wanted to get out of a circuit court because he had handed down some decisions that were favorable to the people On another occasion, they wanted to defeat a district attorney that was a little light on poor people. Now, it wasn't coming down heavy enough. What the IRS would have to do with that, I don't know, but the IRS and FBI had complicity, and they paid another handsome sum to get that done. This one case alone, as I said, the IRS agent was promised $20,000 annual pension for life, a new identity, a home abroad, if you were successful in getting something on a state attorney who was just a little bit unfriendly to corporate interest and a little light on the public sector, a little more considerate of the public sector. The IRS established, the Internal Revenue Service has established a special service staff to